Now, let us read tonight in the book of the Acts and chapter 13. The book of the Acts and chapter 13. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now we trust the Lord will add his blessing to this simple and yet very precious reading of his holy word. I tried to visualize the effect of Paul's preaching at this time. The passage from which we have read records his visit to the synagogue at Antioch. I don't know how many were gathered on this visit, but I would be assured there were many who had gathered formally and regularly to listen, as Paul indicates, to the reading of the law and the prophets. He points out in his message that it was very possible and actual that while they heard the reading, they did not hear the voice of the prophet. And you know, dear friend, that's very sad, but it's very true. Many can listen to the reading of the Word of God. And you come Sunday after Sunday, possibly, and listen to the reading of the Word of God. But you never really have heard the voice of God in the message, in His Word. Now, there they were gathered on this particular Sabbath, and I would not have time to compound for you in a very brief way, even, what their thoughts were thinking, and what their heritage made them think, and brought them to think. But I would know this, that on that particular Sabbath day, as they gathered, as they had done so many times in the past, the last thing that they expected was to hear the message they heard. Now that was tremendous. For on hearing the message, thank God there were those that believed it. Thank God there were those that in spite of their background and in spite of their upbringing, when they listened to the message of the gospel, I would say, for the first time, they believed and were wondrously delivered. No, I think that's very encouraging. And here we are tonight, and you have gathered in this way many, many Sundays in the past. Probably too numerous for you even to count. Not only too numerous to remember. But you know, friend, this could be a very special night. This could be different without the intent that the name of Jesus would be mentioned within the confines of their synagogue. But it was. But at least, friend, you have come And you know that in a meeting such as this, the gospel of Christ and the name of Jesus would be clearly mentioned, proclaimed, and announced. And I love these words that I have read. I want to bring them to you tonight in all their gospel simplicity. Be it known unto you. Now that's very simple. But Paul has used that several times already in this chapter. So that let us just pause a moment at that point. And let us remember that the message tonight is exceedingly and intensely personal. Personal. He said earlier, unto you is the word of this salvation sent. So he adds, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And as he adds, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. I love those words, friend. And I want to use them tonight just to bring you a simple gospel message that I trust will be used by the Spirit of God to bring you into personal, simple, and eternal acceptance of Christ as Savior. I want you to think, first of all, of what I'm going to term the focus of the gospel. That's a very simple point. Listen to how it's proclaimed to these people, the Jews, by the apostle. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man. Now let us pause at those two words. This man. You know, if you read the whole of this address, you took time tonight to read from where the apostle begins to preach until he ends, I tell you what you'll notice. You will notice in his address, he mentions many important men. Men with which the audience would be very familiar because all of them and each one of them is mentioned in the Word of God. But you know, when the apostle said to these people, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, he wasn't referring to one of those men. Now, there were patriarchs mentioned. Abraham. And Israel. Jacob. And those were great men. And you know, the Jews especially. Men, if they revered any man that ever walked on this scene of time, it would be their father Abraham, as they would call him. And they would honor him, and they would revere him, and they would respect him. Ah, but when Paul was preaching to them that day, and he said that through this man, he wasn't referring to Abraham. No, no. Neither was he referring to Jacob. Man, they valued Jacob. They knew fine well that it was Jacob that gave them the 12 tribes, the 12 sons that formed the very backbone and the very body of the nation. Ah, but it wasn't Jacob. It wasn't Jacob. And then if you read carefully, and it's very simple, you'll find that he referred to potentates, to kings. And he mentioned Saul. And he mentioned David. And you know, they were great men as far as these men were concerned. Saul was their first king. And David was their most honored king. And they owed so much to him. But you know, when Paul was preaching the gospel, when he said, this man, he wasn't referring to Saul. And friend, he wasn't referring to David. And then, if you look carefully, he mentions prophets. And amongst them, of course, is one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. Samuel. And then he mentions John. And the Lord Jesus spoke of John, and he said, there was none greater born of woman than John. And these were great men as far as this company of people was concerned, you know. But whenever Paul preached the message, when he clothed his message in these lovely words, my dear friend, the focus of the gospel was not in Abraham. It wasn't in Jacob, in Saul, or David, or Samuel, or John. And then we could go on because there were two great preachers there. It wasn't to them either. There was Barnabas standing beside Paul, and there was Paul standing beside Barnabas. And you wouldn't get better men in this world, would you? But the preacher knew, as well as his head was on his body, that when he was facing men going to eternity, and men with only a breath between that and awful judgment, he knew there was no point in preaching himself. And listen, friend, now you can start in your mind. And you can go through the men that you have heard. And the men that you have heard about. And as you classify them, and as you continue to go right down through the ages, I want to tell you, friend, you'll never be able to discover a person that would qualify for the term the apostle used. This man. For the focus of the gospel couldn't be in Abraham. I tell you why. Very kindly and very regrettably, he told lies. And I needn't tell you tonight, dear friend, the focus of the gospel couldn't be in David. I know he's held in honor, and we regard all that. But when I'm thinking of this point, friend, you can read, and I have read, that there were moments in that man's life when he sinned grievously against God. We know that. So he couldn't be the focus of the gospel. And you see what I'm doing, don't you? Keeping within the context of this chapter. I'm just helping you, if you will, to lose sight of every person. It doesn't matter how great, it doesn't matter how grand, it doesn't matter how gifted, it doesn't matter how glorious, friend, you lose sight of every person tonight and get your eyes focused on the man of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whatever else you do, and listen, friend, whatever else you don't do, don't you miss this point, that if ever you're going to be in heaven, you're going to have to do with this man. This man. Now, I have no difficulty in telling you who he is. We could go all around the scriptures. But you know, I hope that when I preach, people go home and read the Bible on what I've preached. And consider the need to consolidate their own mind that the preacher's preaching according to the Word of God. So I'm just going to keep in the chapter. And I'm going to invite you to read, if you will, or look at it, if you will. And you'll find in verse 33 who he is. Verse 33, who is he? He's the Son of God. The Son of God. Of those lovely words, thou art my Son. My friend, those are lovely words. Addressed to the person of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not compounding something. I could turn you, and you could turn even now if you will, I don't mind, to Hebrews chapter 1, friend. And you'll find that these lovely words are quoted in that lovely passage and in other passages that assure me of this. What? He's God's beloved Son. That's who he is. If you look at verse 23, you'll find out who he is. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Not good. Man, I tell you, friend, you see what the little construction I'm building here? Why did I ask you to read this chapter and pick out an Abraham? Why did I ask you to read this chapter and pick out a Jacob? And all those other men and many more we could mention? Because, friend, I want you to get the focus of the gospel is not these men at all. But here he is in verse 23. Jesus. Jesus. Now you know the sweetness of that. Friend, you get to know this, that here is one that was absolutely distinct from all other men in his spotless, sinless manhood, and we'll come to that in a moment. I'm just wanting you to get who he is, the Son of God. Verse 33. Jesus, and in the same very verse, the word before it, what is the word? Savior. And that's the focus of the gospel. When Paul said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's who he had in mind. That's the person he's identifying. That's the one whom he's holding up as the focus of the gospel. Without Christ, without the Savior, without the blessed man who bore the holy, precious, blessed name of Jesus, there is no gospel. One has said many years ago that he came not only to preach the gospel, but that there might be a gospel to preach. And let us get that over to any soul in the meeting tonight that's in any questionable doubt. The means, the focus of the gospel is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when I'm putting out these other men, I'm not doing that arbitrarily. I'm not doing it angrily. And I'm not even doing it in a way, friend, to denigrate these men. But I'm simply doing it argumentatively to get the message of the gospel to your soul. For why? Well, Look at verse 28. Isn't this good? Man, I thought of it today when our brother read those lovely words this morning that were so precious to our appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Listen to these words. And though they found no cause of death in him. Not good? I just want you to get those words. They found no cause of death in him. How do you think on that? You'd been at that judgment seat with Pilate trained with imperialistic justice and penetrating analysis, and you put David before him. Hey. What would happen? What would happen? You just get that into your soul, friend. And listen, it wouldn't matter who you mention. If you put any man born of Adam's race and place them before that audience, friend, there would have been cause found worthy of death. But the blessed Son of God stood on that spot. And men drew upon every resource that they had. If only they could discover the simplest, the slightest indication of defection, then they would condemn. Then they found none. Sinless. Sinless. See, that's why he's the focus of the gospel. You know that tonight. I want to preach it to you from my heart. There's the blessed Savior submitting to the penetrating glance of men. And after they have sought, and Peter looked at him so many times, and he came out to that roaring mob, and he told them three times, your Bible tells you, I find no fault in him. Bless his name. Verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, what they do? They took him down from the tree. Man, a friend, that's as visual as I could make. I think this is the only place that Paul ever used the word. Peter uses it. But you know, Paul is in the Spirit. And he must have brought those Jews right to Calvary. And he shows that not only was he sinless, but he shows that he suffered. They took him down from the tree. Friend, we gathered this morning around this table physically, but spiritually in our hearts, there was more than that. And brought before us in many ways by the leading of the Spirit of God, were impressions of Calvary. As we thought of the one that was crucified and nailed upon the tree. And why was he there? He was there because the Bible said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And when they had taken him down from the tree, what does that mean? He was on it. And he suffered on it. And he died on it. And he did a work, dear friend, that brought God eternal satisfaction on it. And he did a work that enables God to come out tonight, I say reverently, and save all that will believe. Here's a man Here's the focus of the gospel, friend. And listen, you could never find in history or in any other source a man that suffered for you. Never. Never. The focus. Take him out of the gospel, friend. We have no gospel. Take him out of the message of salvation. We have no message. Here's the sinless one, verse 28. Here's the suffering one, verse 29. But listen, friend. Was he beaten? Was he defeated? Master, someday he bowed his head and died, thank God. And they buried him, yes. But look at verse number 30, friend. But God raised him from the dead. The Supreme One. That's who he is. That's, friend, that's the man that, that's the person, that's the focus of the gospel. And when Paul is preaching to this audience, that's who he's driving at. That's what he's driving at these people. Be it known, man, he says, look at me. Be it known unto you, as you listen to me tonight, today, that this man, that through this man, and you know, friend, in this message, he has presented a glorious picture, in my judgment, to my delight, of the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, what are the facts of the gospel? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man. Isn't that a lovely word? Because of what this man has done, by dying on the cross, there is a rich, there is a full, there is a glorious provision preached. What is that provision? The forgiveness of sins. I needn't tell you, for you have a conscience as clearly as you have a face. And without anything else, you know as you sit on the bare bench tonight, you're a sinner. And you know as I know, there is no one that you would wish would ever get to know the sins you have committed. But God knows them. God knows. And you know the dreadful reality and the awful consequences of anyone ever getting to know the sins that you would wish to forget. Now what about those you don't really wish to forget? Well listen, friend. Put them all together tonight. And remember as you leave this building, before you leave this building, and before you could leave this building, you could have them all forgiven. You could have them all forgiven. And mind you, that would lift a tremendous burden from your soul. For you know the consequences of going into eternity with unforgiven sin. You'll never have them forgiven for all eternity. Never. For it says in your Bible and mine, the Son of Man, and he prefaces it, the blessed Savior does, by these words, similar to Paul, be it known unto you. See? Man, I tell you there's something great about the gospel. It never intends to leave people in the dark. The Savior says, be it known unto you that the Son of Man has what? Power on earth to forgive sin. It was on earth sin was committed. It was on earth sin was atoned for. And friend, it's only on earth that sin can be forgiven. And listen, if you die before your sins are forgiven, you'll be in hell and you'll be lost forever. Forever. But the message is, the facts of the gospel include a provision preached. Man, I tell you, it's the greatest thing to have. To be able to put your head on a pillow. And I had a good pillow the last 2 weeks, thank God, and thank my dear friends in the front seat for it. I tell you. And each night I put my head on that lovely pillow. I close my eyes in the consciousness. My sins deserve eternal death. But Jesus died for me. Can you say that? Can you? You go out tonight, friend, into a dark night with the consciousness of sin and the consequences of sin chasing you. Mind you, friend, God could quickly bring you to a point where you would face it. Mind you, I want to tell you it's real. And I don't want to do anything to myself, but I remember 3 years ago this month, only a few days to come and it'll be 3 full years. Now that Monday night, I'll never forget it, friend. Never forget it. The physician told me, I'll be working on you at 7:30 tomorrow morning. And at 10:05, I'll never forget, friend, getting it all with God. I said, Lord, I may never open my eye again. But I know this, that if I never open my eye in the Royal Victoria Hospital again, the next time it will be Him. I tell you, friend, I put my head on that pillow, and I'm not boasting. God knows my very heart. I was resting on the precious blood of Christ. And if you'd asked me, if you'd come to my word, as I told a dear brother that I mourn tonight, has gone to heaven since I left home, and he was the last one to pray with me. Dear Brother Skates, dear Eric came to my bed that night after my wife and all had left me, and he said, Tom, I just thought I'd come to see you. And you know, friend, there wasn't a better man to come to my bed, because he has been on the same bed twice. Now he's free from all pain. And he prayed with me. And I said, Eric, before you go, you're the last one that I will know on earth if the Lord takes me. You'll be able to tell them it's a great time to prove the power of the blood. I tell you, friend. I'm telling you. When your friends give you the last shake hands, and when earth begins to recede, and it will someday, have you got your sins forgiven? Dear Jack Atkinson, the boy preacher that I was privileged to hear in 1937 and 1938, and I'll never forget it, coming near the end of life in 1939, if we had known, we would have listened all night. And he says to his wife, pull back the curtain. Why, she said, earth's receding, heaven is opening, and I am entering. That good friend? I think that's tremendous. I think that's tremendous, friend. How could he say it? How could he say it, friend? He said it because he had his sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Would you not want that tonight? Listen, you might amass the greatest amount of money and popularity and praise and position the world and worlds upon it could give. Die in your sins and mourn the length of eternity. And yet, friend, through simply believing on the Lord Jesus, you could have the greatest treasure man could have. My sins are all forgiven. So Paul says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through what he has done, through all that is accomplished, is preached unto you, what? The forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified. Isn't that great? That's just, as it were, putting the same thing again, because these Jews were familiar with that line of reasoning and that line of preaching. When he spoke about forgiveness of sins, that's just salvation in another term. Now he puts it another way, that by him all that believe in him are justified from all things. My friend, that's not so much the provision preached, but that's the promise presented, or the position promise. Justified from all things. Well, I'm looking at these lovely words in verses like these, as I did last week with the word all in 1 John 1 and 7. Isn't it lovely to think it's just the same? You know, what a confusion. What a confusion the word of God would have created, I say reverently, if Paul had said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, or in him, all that believe are justified from something. Something. Man, you'd have gone out of the hall, and I would go out of the hall, scratching our proverbial head, and we would be asking ourselves the question, which things? And we would know. And it would add to our frustration. It would add to our dissatisfaction. It would add to our spiritual unrest. But oh, friend, when the word of God is preaching life to dead sinners, it's clear. It's crystal clear. And God says in his word, by him are justified from all things. Well, that's Romans, isn't it? You've heard it before. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen. By him, or in him, all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Ah, oh, that's a problem. That just put all those men and women, if they were there, I'm sure they were, right on their back. If there was anything, listen, friend, you just get it tonight in the atmosphere of this lovely meeting. If there was anything in this world that these men treasured and trusted, what was it? It was the law of Moses. You say anything about it, you're being difficult. You try to tamper with it, boy, you're being effective. And here's this great gospel preacher standing in the midst of these people. And he says, listen, I want to tell you, by him, or in him, all that believe, that is in him, are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. What does it mean, friend? I want to tell you. It means that all your works are of no avail. And it's nothing but the work of Christ is taking me to heaven. Nothing. Good to know that. And good for you tonight, friend, just to get to that point where Christ is all. Christ is all. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he died on Calvary. And he fulfilled every particle of the law of Moses, and he did more. He provided a means whereby you could be justified from all things that the law of Moses could never do. So if you're trying to work for heaven, or work your way to heaven, by whatever means you employ, just remember this. Not only are you mistaken, but you're too late, for Christ has died. So someone, is it just as simple as that? Well, I think I have to mention before I close the faith of the gospel. What is the requirement? A very, very plain requirement, friend. It says, all that believe. Now, so someone, why do you go back to that word believe? Because I can't dispense with it. And I don't want to dispense with it. There's someone, I can't understand it. Well, I can't understand that you can't understand it. It's not a matter of understanding, friend. As I have said many a time, if you asked me to explain electricity, I couldn't do it. If you and I were standing in a dark room and we need light, and you say, well, I can't believe in electricity because I don't understand it, you'd be in the dark forever. But if I say to you, listen, while I cannot explain the dynamics of electricity, well, I will tell you this, that if you go to that wall and connect with that switch, the moment you put your finger on that switch, the very next moment light will dawn. Whether you explain it or whether you understand it or whatever, friend, that's not the point. But if you want to experience light, all that God requires. And faith honors God. Because, friend, faith is in Him and in His Son. Not in me. It's in Him. And God gives you the eternal credit. Listen, friend, that the moment you give Him the credit, that very moment He'll give you the blessing. Very moment. What is the range? All that believe. When I go to Malaysia, I can preach the same verse. When I go to wherever, I can preach the same verse. For they're included in this little word all that believe. The requirement. But the range. And it takes you in tonight. From the front seats to the back. What are the results? All that believe are justified. But for someone, I believe, and I'm not justified. Well then, you're telling God He's a liar. I maybe told you before that young man that I love. Came to my meetings in Limavady, got concerned, and after that spent 18 months in deep concern. Preached, listened to preachers every night possibly in those 18 months somewhere in Ireland. Couldn't see salvation. Big Harold, as we call him, on one of the visits, met him sitting in his car in Port Stewart. He says, David, can you not see it? I can't. Well, he said, if a policeman came down the road and said to you, David, you haven't paid your road tax, what would you say? I would tell him, can you not read? But he said, if he still said, you haven't paid your road tax, what would you say? I would say, Mr. Can you not read what's on that windscreen? That I paid it at a certain time. Well, he said, can you not take God at his word? And Harold closed the door. David was driving from Port Stewart to Coleraine, only a few miles. Then he was driving the truth down. And he took God at his word. And that boy was saved before he reached home. What a young man he is now, just a few years ago. That's it. As I close, friend, there's a forewarning here. Beware. Beware. Others have heard the message. What have they done? They've despised it. What have they done? They have looked at it in incredible amazement, but incredulous. Too good to be true. Like as a young man said to me in Malacca one night, from which our friends come down here. Mr. Bentley, why is it that so much depends on so little? Sounds incredible. But all you have to do is believe, and so much follows. Well, friend, that's it. But people look at it and they despise it. And they wonder. And Paul says they perish. Why? Because they will not believe. May God help you tonight. Dear friend, for the first time, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.